There was a court case that was taking place in England, and the judge was ready to call as the star witness an Altayid, an old Jew. So the courtroom is extremely silenced, and they call this old Jew who's to be the star witness, and all of a sudden to the front of the courtroom in England walks an 85-year-old Yid with a long kapota, a long white beard, tzitzis mamish scraping the ground, two gemaras under each arm, a Hamburg on his head, and that's the way he shuffles up to take the witness stand. And sizing up the situation right away, the judge says to the bailiff, "Bailiff, get a Yiddish interpreter." So the bailiff does as he's told, and everyone comes back to the courtroom, and all eyes now turn to this Altayid, and the Altayid stands as tall as he can, he fixes kapota, and he turns to the judge and he says, "Your Honor, if it pleases the court, I hold a doctorate in English literature from Cambridge University. I'm quite conversant in the King's English. You needn't render an interpreter to translate into the vernacular." Everybody's like this. And everybody turns to the interpreter, and the Yiddish interpreter says, "As the Yid hat gesagt, as er kein Yiddish say it to him, er darf nicht den interpreter." You know, I think when it comes to the world of parenting, that unfortunately, as Rabbi Cranus, he should live and be well, just mentioned, as well as we think we know our role, it's something that needs to be revisited time and time again. It's something we should constantly learn and grow from, because as much as we may think we know what our job is, we're not always so sure. And therefore, we gather together tonight. Hopefully, together, we can learn and get chizuk from being, as tonight's topic is entitled, being the perfect parent. Let's learn what our job really is. There's a terrific pasuk right before Sheni in Parshas Vayechi. When Yaakov Avinu calls his grandchildren Ephraim and Menashe, Yosef's sons, and he's about to give them a bracha, where of course we know he switches his hands, he says to Yosef, "Mi Eile, who are these grandchildren?" Rashi says what he meant was, he knew that they were Ephraim and Menashe, but he asked, "Where did they come from? She'enon re'uyin lebracha." I don't see, literally the translation means, I don't see bracha, I don't see good blessing, that they're roy for it, good things to come from them. That's the way Rashi seemingly understands Yaakov's inquiring about his einiklach, mi eile, who pray tell are they? Haruyin lebracha, they don't seem to have blessing resting on their head. I once heard a most magnificent pshat, I believe it was from the Bava Rebbe, Zechusa Yogan Aleinu. He says, no, Rashi means just the opposite. There is a bracha that every parent makes when their child becomes a bar mitzvah, the bracha, Baruch Shepetrani Me'on Sheshel Azeh, which some people could translate, "Thank God I don't have to worry about this kid anymore." But that's not really what it means. Now I don't have to worry about his Averos, and now he's on his own, and a headache to a degree is off my head. Or maybe that's just when it begins. But to a degree, it's off my head. That's the bracha of Baruch Shepetrani. I'm free of this obligation. Yaakov Avinu saw these grandchildren in front of him, Ephraim and Menashe, and he knew they grew up in the tumah of Mitzrayim. And he figured anyone who grew up in the filth of Mitzrayim can't be heilige children. It can't be that they are clinging tenaciously to all the values of the Ribono Shel Olam. And yet, his grandchildren, Ephraim and Menashe, came into the room and they were angelic children. Even in the tomb of Mitzrayim, Yosef had the ability to raise Ephraim and Menashe in the derech of Torah and mitzvahs. And Yaakov Avinu was blown away by that. How do you accomplish that even in Mitzrayim? So actually says the Bava Rebbe, do you know what Yaakov meant? Mi eile, who are they? And like Rashi says, Haru'uyin lebracha? Do you have to make a bracha on these children? Referring to the bracha of Baruch Shepetrani Me'on Sheshel Azeh? You think on such heilige pure neshamos you need to make that bracha? I don't think so. They're such holy heilige children. Einu ruyin lebracha. You don't need to make a bracha on them. On these children, you do not need to make a baruch shepetrani. It's a moiridik apshat. Halavai, by the time we leave tonight, it should be about each and every one of us that our children that we have, and Be'ezus Hashem will have, an Einik Lach, that the Ribbono Shel Olam can come down and say about each and one of every one of them, Einan Ruya LeBracha. You don't need to make on them the bracha, baruch shepetrani. Because I don't know, we may not mamish be living in a Mitzrayim, but living in an America, living in a South Africa, is not living in an Eretz Yisrael. And we're faced with trials and tribulations, different things that may be contrary to our society, that are filtering into our homes on a daily basis. How do we match up to the test? It should Be'ezras Hashem be that as a result of our becoming tonight the perfect parent, the Ribbono Shel Olam will say, you don't really need to make a Baruch Shepetrani. Just like Yosef didn't need to for Ephraim and Menashe. It has to be said from the beginning about any shir that's given on Chinuch. The most crucial ingredient to becoming the perfect parent has nothing to do with anything that I can tell you. And it really does not have to do with our amelus and how much we try. So let it be said at the beginning of the shir, it's all totally on Siyata Dishmaya. Let no one make the mistake. Tefillah, davening with tears. Because Sharei Demois Leninalu, the gates of tears, are never closed. So if a Yiddish mother or Yiddish tata can evoke tears, Adarab, it's better. But make no mistake, no one should walk out of here thinking, Kochid Yotzim Yadi, oh, that's the winning formula. The winning formula is coming to the realization that it's only Siyata Dishmaya. It's only through Tfila and Tzaaka. Like it says in Tehillim, Nafshi Lashem Mishomim Laboker, Shomim Laboker. Maybe when we get up in the morning, we should have the Kavana. Nafshi Lashem, my soul yearns to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mishomim Laboker from this morning, Shomim Laboker until tomorrow morning. You want to know about tomorrow morning? I'll worry about it then. But right now, let's just only look at the unit of the next 24 hours. For the next 24 hours, let my sons, my daughters, my spouses, my einiklach, be healthy, be safe, go in the way of the Ribbono Shel Olam's Torah and Mitzvos. And tomorrow morning, I'll daven again. But tefillah and siyata d'shmaya, that's the only way to become the perfect parent. But still, the Ribbono Shel Olam does desire our shutvis, our hishtadlus. What can we contribute to becoming that perfect parent? It's well known, they say it from many gedolim, that when their child, a couple had a child that was 5 years old, they came to a particular gadol, maybe they say it from the Chofetz Chaim, and they said, here, our little yingle is 5 years old. So Rebbe, he's five, when should we start being mechanech the child? And we all know the gadol answered, 5 years ago. That's when chinuch starts. Chinuch starts when the child's born, whether you or I think that the child realizes it. Everything that we do and how we do it is clearly instilled, infused, and inculcated into our children. And if the child is five, we started being mechanech them 5 years too late. One of the doctors in our kehillah in North Miami Beach recently told me a maisa. Part of the year he's a doctor in a hospital in Eretz Yisrael. Baruch Hashem does a lot of chesed there a few months a year. He told me how a few years ago he went in and one of his patients was an Alta Yid from Yemen, an old Taimani Jew. So he walked in to see how he was doing, and he noticed that unfortunately the Yid had a big, big Gemara, and it was upside down. So he felt terrible for the Yid. The Yid must have thought he was learning. He wasn't able to see, so he turned the Gemara the right way, so at least let him think he's learning. By the time the doctor turned to the door, the Jew had flipped the Gemara upside down again. So the doctor figured, Nebuch, he's really losing it. So a second time, this Dr. Goldstein went back to the patient's bed and he flipped the Gemara the other way. At least he should see. By the time he got to the door, Nachamo! He turned it, the patient turned it upside down. And three times this went back and forth. When Dr. Goldstein was ready again to turn it right side up, the patient said, Doctor, leave it. He said, what are you talking about? Do you know it's upside down? He said, of course I know it's upside down. But I need it to be upside down. He said, what are you talking about? He said, 70 years ago when I was a cheder yingel in Yemen, we all came into cheder and surrounded the desk of the Rebbe. But of course we didn't have everyone enough to have their own gemaras or svarim. So the Rebbe sat behind his desk and he had the only gemara. And we all crowded on the other side. So while to the Rebbe, he read the gemara the right way, it was in front of him, we, lacking the svarim, could only read it upside down. And for years, that's the way I learned in cheder. So today, 70 years later, I don't know how to read any other way. When he benched, when he learned, when he davened, he could only read, learn, or daven if the sefer was upside down. Because when you're taught that way in your youth, and when time and time again something is nailed and drilled into you, then that's the way we are going to grow up. And that's the only way we'll know. And we should not fool ourselves. This positive influence can also have a terrible negative connotation. If a young child grows up in a home where Lashon Hara is the dessert that they hear every night by supper, or by lunch when the child comes home, all we do is bash the Rebbe, bash the Rav, bash the neighbor, and they only know about speaking negatively about others, when they grow up, they'll only read the Sefer upside down. How could you expect anything different? But if conversely at our Shabbos tables, or at our Sudos, during the night or during the day, we teach them about the beauty of speech, we teach them mises of gedolim, we teach them how to behave and respect people, and that's the only thing they'll know when they grow up. But it's imperative, the first thing we realize today is it's from the beginning. 5 years old is 5 years too late. Because the way the child learns, and it's inculcated in them from their youth, that's the only way they'll know. There's a pasuk brought down in Mishlei. The pasuk tells us, Kimayim haponim leponim kein lev ha'adam le'adam. Just as water reflects water, so too the heart of man reflects how they feel about another person. The Vilna Gaon Zechusa Yogan Aleinu says something, hafla v'fela. Do you know how to understand the relationship of water? Mayim is spelled mem yud mem. Many letters, when you say them, have one gematria. But when you spell them out, have a totally different gematria. Let's give an example. The letter Bez. Bez is the gematria 2. But when you spell out the word Bez, Bez yud tuf, the yud and tuf, which you only hear but don't see, is 410. Nowhere near the 2. Take Aleph. What's Aleph bigamatria? 1. But what you hear, Aleph, is a Lamed and a Pei. Lamed and a Pei is 110. There's no similarity, no connection whatsoever between that which you hear and that which you actually get and see. There are two letters that are the exception. Mem and Yud. Mem is spelled, Mem is bigamatria 40. When you spell out the word mem, it's mem mem. So it's still 40. What you hear and what's written is both 40. Oto davar. Yud. Yud is bigamatria 10. How do you spell yud? Yud, vav, dalid. Vav and dalid is 6 and 4 is also 10. It's the same thing. That, says the Gaon, is the way you're going to look at people. Kimayim. Just like the letters of mayim. The mem, the yud, and the mem. What you see and what you hear that you don't see, they're both exactly the same. Ponim leponim, they mirror each other perfectly. Kain lev ha'adam la'adam, so too people are to mirror the way they look at each other. Whatever our children learn is going to be kemayim ponim leponim. If they grow up in a home where the way is lashon hara, nivol peh, lack of derech eretz, ponim leponim. That's exactly the way they'll be. But if we're able to become the perfect parent through siyata d'shmaya and tefillah and create an environment where they see nothing is more valuable than Torah. You know what my parents get their joy out of? My parents don't get their joy out of a car or a chandelier. They get their simcha from dancing hakafos on simchas Torah. That's what they get their joy out of. You know what my parents have yira from? They don't necessarily have yira from the money or from whatever it may be. They have yira from coming to shul on a Yom Kippur like the Ribono Shel Olam wants, ready and prepared. When our children see what we value, they'll value the same thing. That's the mayim. What you see is what they'll get. What we are is who they'll become. It's that simple. Kein lev ha'adam la'adam. I have to tell you a most beautiful story that happened in my family almost 5 years ago. Before my father, Zatzal, was nifter, he came to visit my family and I in Matisdorf. He was actually flown in to speak in Binyanei HaUmah. They have during the 9 days, his soul was for thousands of English-speaking women. And he was the speaker that year. It was a Thursday night. Late afternoon, we were getting ready for Shabbos. My wife and I, my parents were there. And all of a sudden, there's a soft knock on the door. I answer the door, and a lady, a young woman, is there with a number of small, beautiful children. And she says, "Is this where Rabbi Mordechai Shapiro from Miami is going to be for Shabbos?" I said, "Yes, he's my father." She said, "Can I come in? I'd like to speak to him." So I called my father out of the room, and by now we were intrigued because it was clear I had no idea who they were. My father didn't know. So we're all around the dining room table waiting for her to talk. And she says to my father, "You're Rabbi Mordechai Shapiro from Florida?" "Yes." She worked so hard to track him down because in Binyanei HaUmah she just remembered the name. And then she had to make calls to Harnof and to Neve Yaakov to find. And she was so happy she had to get back before Shabbos. But she said, "Before I leave, let me tell you why I'm here. I'm married now, and these are my little children, beautiful Zisa children. But my maiden name was Geller. Does that name mean anything to you?" And we all started to smile. Geller, we remember growing up in Miami Beach, my sisters and I, that for years and years, an elderly couple, Mr. and Mrs. Geller, they should both be zocha to a lichtige Gan Eden. Every Erev Shabbos, they would bring their family over to my father's home. He was the Rav in Miami Beach at that time. And every Erev Shabbos, for dozens of years, they baked hot, delicious, warm challahs for the Rav and Rebbetzin. Mr. and Mrs. Geller did that. And they always brought their family to see this year in, year out, for dozens of years. Always the hot challah. And as we were thinking about the delicious challah and the chesed of this elderly couple, the Gellers, we all started to tear because it brought back such beautiful memories. And naturally remembered the name, so she tells us, and she addresses my father, "I'm the granddaughter of that couple. And when I heard that you were in town, I had to come on Erev Shabbos." And as if on cue, all her children took out from behind their back bags. And in the bags were hot, delicious, warm challahs. We never had such a beautiful challah on Shabbos. That's the kemayim ponim leponim. If your children see it week in, week out, Shabbos in, Shabbos out, and you can firmly and deeply root that in the family, then the grandchildren will bring their grandchildren. And she said, "I tracked you down. I took a few buses to get here. Kinderlach, go ask Rabbi Shapiro for a bracha." And they wished us a good Shabbos and disappeared. That's the kemayim ponim leponim. Those are the lessons and the ideals that we have to inculcate into our children. So we know how early chinuch begins. That even if we think they're too young to understand, to follow our direction, they're watching. It's in the avira. Make no mistake. But then chinuch must continue. On Simchas Torah, my father, Zeicher Tzadik Kodesh Levracha, had a beautiful minhag. That when all of the Sifrei Torah did the hakafras around the bima, my father Zatzal would stand there. And he would kiss each and every Sefer Torah. And then as every father held their son or daughter in their hand and also did hakafos, he took his talis and he kissed each one of those children as well. And he always said, "Ephraim Elio, never forget, children are lebedik Sefer Torah. And there's no difference between that Sefer Torah and this Sefer Torah." And I always grew up watching him kiss the children with the same zeal and enthusiasm and warmth and hargasha that he did the actual Sefer Torah. And then when the parent would see that beautiful thing, my father would stop them in their tracks and say, "But Mr. So-and-so, make no mistake. Just as every Sefer Torah needs a Sefer, a scribe that's pure, that does things l'shem shamayim, every levedik a sefer Torah also needs a sefer that's pure, and that can never change. Because just as you learn from a sefer Torah all the time, you're always perfecting your levedik a sefer Torah. The sefer, the scribes, the father, the mother, the grandparents must always, not only in the beginning of chinuch, but must always remain pure, just like that sefer of the sefer Torah. There's a mice I remember hearing. Years ago in Eretz Yisrael lived Rabben Zion Yadler, Zechusa Yogan Aleinu, the Maggid of the Altstadt of Yerushalayim, of the old city of Jerusalem. He lived, I believe, to be deep into his 90s. I want to tell you a story that happened to Rabben Zion Yadler when he was only 6 years old. At the age of six, this little child, Rabben Zion, became a Cholei Masukin, and he was deathly ill. And the doctor said, there's nothing that can be done. They tried and tried years ago in Eretz Yisrael, and they weren't successful. Finally, the six-year-old said to the doctors, I want to be taken on my stretcher to the cemetery. And they didn't know what he was talking about, but they knew already then he was a special child, so they listened. And they took six-year-old Ben Zion on his stretcher to the cemetery. And he said, help me find the kaver of the Imre Bina, Reb Meir Orbach, Zecher Tzadik V'kor Shlivracha. And they brought the six-year-old to the kaver. And he stood in front of the grave of the Imre Bina, Reb Meir Orbach. And there this lone voice of the child called out, Reb Meir, you were my moil at the bris 6 years ago. You brought me into this world. Ask the Ribbono Shel Olam, Maschil B'mitzvah, Omrim Lo Gemor. He started a mitzvah, ask him please, that he shall allow me to finish the mitzvah. Take the tefillah to the Ribbono Shel Olam and say, Gemor, I want to still be around. And indeed, Rabban Zion lived another 80, 85 years. And that's what we have to tell the Ribbono Shel Olam. We know we're starting to be mechanech our children, but it's only a Maschil B'mitzvah. When you say the Baruch Shepetrani literally at 13, that's not where it ends. It continues. Oymrim loy gimar. It's never ending. It must always continue through the generations. No matter how old a person is, if he still has a parent, he's a child. You ever seen an 85-year-old who has a parent who's 105 saying, Ta, how you doing? And the father's saying, what do you think of my bicycle? That's the way it is. Chinuch never ends. There's a beautiful harachamon that we say following the bris that we should be zeicha legadloi, to raise the child, lechanchoi, to educate the child, and then ulechakmoi, to make him wise, from the word chacham. I heard that there are a number of sidurim that have a different nusach, a different girsa. Instead of saying legadlo, to raise him, lechancho, to educate him, ulechakmo, to make him wise, they switch around the second and the third. And thus it's read that we should merit children legadlo, lechakmo, ulechancho. We should raise them, they should become wise, and then we should educate them. And obviously the question is, once you've raised them, and once they're chachomim, they're wise, that's already beyond a chinuch. So how, pray tell, is the last stage, lechancho, to educate them? Because our job of being the perfect parent can never end. Legadlo, let's raise them. Lechakmo, let them be on their own and be wise. But stay in touch. Ulechancho. And this is important for the children to hear. No matter how wise or how smart they think they are, they always need the parent. And the parent has to realize it never ends. After the chachom, and after they've raised children on their own, you still need to be there, lechancho, to educate. Because that never ends. It's interesting, by a Mishnah in Masechta Sukkah, it talks about two types of lulavim. One type that's kosher, and one type that's posel. It says if you have that, the lulav is nifritzu, it's posel. If the lulav is nifridu, it's kosher. What's the difference between nifritzu and nifridu? Nifritzu means the lulav is split totally from top to bottom. That's posel. Nifredu means it's split on the top and not separated. But on the bottom, it's still united and together. The only thing that's kosher in the world is Nifredu, when there's still the connection on the bottom, even though it may be separated on the top. But completely divided and completely separated, Nifredu is pasul. When a child goes away, or when someone leaves yeshiva, what type of suda do we make? What's it known as? Sudas preda. A suda of going away. But I believe that the word preda is from the word nifredu. You're going away and you're leaving. But it cannot be nifredu. It cannot be totally severed. It cannot be something that's totally disconnected. Preda means you're leaving, but you're still there. Preda means you're away, but you're still at home. Even after the rachatmo, there still has to be the education. Children have to realize that. When they go away, that's why we always say at a chasna, they should build on churvas Yerushalayim, on something that was there. Why? Don't we want them to build from something new, from scratch? No. Build on what was. Build on the past. It has to be preda, nifredu. You may be separated geographically by thousands of miles, but on the bottom, the family tree is still connected. It can't be any other way. And then we continue our years of chinuch. So we see it's not enough, the early years, and then we continue to the teens and the middle years, and then chinuch must continue. I recently saw in a sefer that there is a minhag brought down when unfortunately someone lost a parent and they're sitting shiva, 7 days of mourning. We all know the minhag that you cover up a mirror. Mirrors. Because you're not allowed to see an image of yourself. We enjoy seeing ourselves. And therefore during shiva there's a custom to cover up the mirrors. I saw in a sefer L'ilui Neshama, it brings down a minhag that you should also cover up tmunas anashim, pictures of parents and pictures of grandparents. And I never understood. Why would there be a custom? Mirrors, I understand, you enjoy seeing yourself. Why would you have to cover up while you're sitting shiva the pictures of parents and grandparents, tmunas anashim? I don't get it. I'll tell you what I think the pshat might be. Yaakov Avinu said that which we sing to our children each and every night. And if we don't sing it to them, it's a good idea to start singing it. It will be their most treasured and cherished memory. Hamalach hagoel osim mikol ra. Sing it to them. Unite and connect with them. So Yaakov Avinu has one request from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Protect my children. V'yikorei vohem shemi v'shem avosai Avraham v'yitzchak. I want my children and grandchildren to bear the names of myself, Yitzchak, my father, myself, Yaakov, my father and grandfather, Avraham and Yitzchak. Look in Tanakh and find me another Avraham, Yitzchak, or Yaakov. How do you understand? Was the tefillah of Yaakov Avinu not fulfilled? He had one request. Let my children have the names of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the four Imahos. You don't find that in Tanakh. It's not a name that's found too often. So you're going to tell me the tefillah of Yaakov Avinu is lying by the wayside? I believe what Yaakov Avinu meant was not that a son should walk down the street and one should be able to say, his name is Yitzchak, after my Zayde, Yitzchak Avinu. Her name is Sara Imenu, after Avram's wife. I don't think Yaakov really cared if they literally carried on the actual name. Yaakov Avinu wants that when somebody walks down the street, everybody should be able to point and say, you see that Ben Torah? He's a grandson of Avram Avinu. I don't care if his name is Menashe Peretz or Chizkiyahu. But just the way he acts, his Enochite, he's so eisgehalten that he looks like an Enochel of Avraham. And she, do you see how sneer she is? Do you see the way she davens? She's so refined in her speech. She has to be a granddaughter of Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. That's what Yaakov Avinu meant. That when my children walk down the street, V'kori v'hem shemi v'shem avosai, I don't care what their actual name is. I want to be able to raise children. That when other people in other nations look at those children, they'll be able to say, ah, that's somebody that's an asset to Klal Yisrael. I think based on that pshat, I know why we cover up pictures of parents or grandparents. The whole reason for being, the whole tachlis one is to fulfill in this world is to emulate the ways of parents. And a parent should make a child an extension of themselves. So maybe you have to cover up the picture of father or mother, because for the same reason you can't look in a mirror. Why can't you look in a mirror? Because when you look in a mirror, you see yourself. When you look at a picture of the Zaydas or the Babas, you know who you're supposed to see? Yourself. When you look at your father and mother, Abba and Ima, Saba or Safta, you should see your own image, not their image. So for the same reason you have to cover up the mirrors, it could be that's the reason you have to cover up Tmunas Anashim. Because when you look at the parent should see the child. When you look at the child, you should see the parent. That's what everyone has to do. We see that this becoming the perfect parent is something extremely difficult. It starts from the beginning, it continues to the middle, and even after our lifetime, we still have to have a child walk down the street and say, that's Mr. So-and-so's son, or that's so-and-so's daughter. What are some of the ways we can decide tonight to achieve that exact goal? I recently heard in the name of Reb Meir Shapiro, the Lublina Rosh Hashiva, Zecher Tzadok Kodesh Levracha, that if you want to know how to be mechanech your children, just take your cue from the story of Elisha with the child of Isha HaShunamis. We know the famous story of Torah Parshas, I believe Vayera, found in Melachim Beis at the end of Perek Dalet. Very sad story. Elisha was taken care of wonderfully by the Isha Shunamis and her husband. And Elisha granted her, through the Ribbono Shel'olam's brachos, a child. The child was in the field one day, his head hurt, he came home, and he died. And the mother brought him upstairs to his bed, and that's where she put him to rest. And then she went to Elisha, and Elisha came to the house, and she said to Elisha, I didn't ask you for the child, and now that I have a child, the child has to die? So Elisha went upstairs to the room, and he revived the child. Zuckerman Meir Shapiro, if you want to know how to revive your child spiritually and connect to your child, do exactly what Elisha did on a physical level to reawaken and to bring that child to light. What Elisha did to the child, everyone in this room must do from here on in to their own children. So let's see what Elisha did. The pasuk says, "Vayiskor haderes bad shnehem." He closed the door when he got upstairs. "Vayispar lo Hashem," he davened to Hashem. He lied on the child and he put piv al piv, his mouth on his mouth, einav al einav, his eyes on the boy's eyes, kapav al kapav, his hands, his palms on the boy's. And then it says, "Vayochem b'sar hayeled," he warmed the flesh of the boy. Zuckerman Meir Shapiro. The first thing to do is what Elisha did. You want to talk to your child and speak to them. You want to connect to them and resurrect them spiritually. Vayiskor hadeles. Close the door. Turn off your cell phones. Turn off the beepers. Turn off the pagers. I don't care if a CEO is calling. Tell your wife in the next half hour, nothing will disturb what you have to talk to your daughter about. Let your child see there's nothing more critical or crucial to this time you want to spend to them. You're halfway there. But the minute they see that the business, the supper, the program, whatever it may be, that's more important, why should they take you seriously? Vayiskor hadeles, close the door. Let him see you're the only thing that counts in his eyes. Secondly, says Reb Meir Shapiro, piv al piv. You know what that means? Speak the sprach he or she understands. Talk to them in a way they can relate to you. Don't speak something superficially that they have no idea what you're saying. They're not going to understand. Piv al piv. Speak the way they speak. Talk. Say something that they can relate to. Then it says, einav al einav. See things from their perspective. Before you're so quick and harsh to judge, see things. Let the child see things from where you're coming. But let the eyes meet. Look at something from the other person's perspective. Kapov al kapov, says Reb Meir Shapiro, hand on hand. Look for some recreational compatibility. Look for things that you can do in conjunction with your child that may bring you closer together. But if Elisha was successful in bringing the child back to life, in Chinuch, every one of us can do that. Close the door and tell him. Speak the way he understands. Look at things from his perspective. Say things he can appreciate. Find things you have in common. I'm sure if Meir Shapiro also means to add, Vayispal El Hashem. All this won't do a blessed thing unless Vayispal El Hashem. Before you close the door, daven to the Rebbe Mishlam. Say a few kapit lachdelem. Are you about to have a very hard, heart-to-heart conversation with your child? So now have a heart-to-heart conversation with the Rebbe Mishlam. Say a few kapit lachdelem and say, Rebbe Mishlam, please let me say what I'm supposed to and not say what I'm not supposed to. Vayisparo, please let me be successful when I talk to my children now, in person or on the phone. Say Tehillim before you speak to the child. And then Vayisparo Hadelas, go into the room and do what Rav Meir Shapiro says. I think that maybe we can add a terrific lesson onto what Rav Meir Shapiro says. I notice the end of the pasuk says, Vayochem Besar HaYeled. He warmed the flesh of the boy. You know what I think we have to add? I said the other day to the women in Beis Yaakov Tisha B'Av afternoon, there's a Gemara that says Torah is compared to the door. Yerushalayim is compared to a bias. But the Gemara goes on to say in great detail, Torah is symbolized by a deles, by a door. Maybe the lesson in Chinuch is as follows. You're bringing a child into the room, Vayisgar HaDeles. Close the door. Close the Torah. Leave it outside. Don't come into that room thinking in an intellectual fashion you'll be able to impress your son or daughter. You're no good because look how many of the commandments you don't keep. You'll never amount to anything because half the Shulchan Aruch doesn't apply to you. Here's a Mefurish Rashba that you don't know the first thing about. And this Pasuk Rashi, you transgress day in, day out. Vayiskor Hadeles. Close the Torah. Leave it outside. You want to know how to connect? You want to know how to make a difference in their lives? Vayochem, Besar HaYeled. Vayochem is from the word chamimus, warmth. Let them see you care. Let them see you're emotionally involved in their lives. Let them see you can really connect. And afterwards, once you've made that connection, then it can be Hadeles. Show them the Torah through the ways of the Torah. Change them. But don't start with the Delis, the Torah. You won't get anywhere. It has to be through the emotion, Vayicham, the Chamimus, the warmth. That's the only way we'll change a person. I, by the way, think we could also add, I note that it says, Ba'ad Shnehem. Of course, it says that because there was only Elisha and that one single child. Maybe we also have the lesson, some of us, Baruch Hashem, have a number of children. When it's Vayisper Hadeles, let it be Ba'ad Shnehem. Let them each have their own unique individual time. Not Shalosh, not Arba, Shnehem. Do whatever you'd like. Tuesday nights is for Rachela. We go around. You know how much that will mean to her? You're not favoring one child over the other. Everyone's the Ben Yochai. You know how the Rosh Hashiva once said he had 400 students and somebody wanted one for his daughter. So he asked the Rosh Hashiva, who's the best? That's my Ben Yochai. Oh, I want the Ben Yochai. And that's my Ben Yochai. And that's my Ben Yochai. What do you mean? I have 400 Bnei Yechidim. I have 400 only children. But Ad Shnehem, let each child have quality, unique, special, sensitive time. For this one you go around the block, and this one you play ball, and this one you learn, and this one you go to a pizza store, whatever it is. Ba'ad Shnehem. Let there be a specific amount of time during each and every week that each child gets that unique individual attention. In that talk that my father Zatzal gave in Binyanei Ha'uma, the summer before he was Nifter, he was talking about Chinuch Bonim. And there he was Mechadesh. So we call the child into the room. And we want to give them their own individual attention through warmth. You know what yesterday's Torah reading said? Ki yeshalcha bincha mochar lemar. When your child shall ask you tomorrow, saying. You know my father's Zatzal said it means? Al pi chinuch? Ki yeshalcha bincha. If your child comes and asks you, and he keeps asking you, because you make time for him, you enjoy him, mochar, there will always be a tomorrow. But the minute that you close the door and you're on one side, and both literally and figuratively, the children are on the other, how could there be a mochar? But ki yishalcha bincha, if he asks, and you care, and you answer, and he asks again, and you care, and you answer, mochar, there will always be a tomorrow until Mashiach comes. I once said over a terrible maisa. It was a child who came home from school at the end of the day and he saw his father busy reading the paper. He says, "Abba, do you have time? I want to speak." He says, "Leave me alone. I'm busy now." So the child, frustrated, goes up to his room. And the child comes down about 10 minutes later. Clearly he was tearing a little bit. And he said, "Abba, how much money do you make an hour?" He's frustrated, flips the paper, says, "I make $100 an hour, okay?" The kid goes up to his room, cries some more, and then he comes down a third and final time. He says, "Abba, can I have $5, please?" The father says, "Leave me alone. I told you I'm busy reading the paper. Let's talk a different time." The child goes up. Obviously, the father realizes he was too harsh. He goes upstairs and he sees that his child is sitting on his bed, sobbing uncontrollably. He says, "Mayor, I realize it was too harsh on you. What are you doing?" He's crying, and through his tears, he says, "Abba, I'm counting my money. And I've counted $45. I was hoping to borrow from you $5 so I can buy a half hour of your time." Give them the time. Give them time that's of quantity. If the best time of the day, just like we have to give from our best kohos, we have to give from the best time of our day. Not later when it's convenient for us, 10 o'clock, when we're falling asleep. Or when the child is no longer up. A child should never have to say, "I want to buy your time. I want to be with you." Be with the child. And listen to what the child says. I said over in the Beis Yaakov a story that happened a few years ago. My family and I, we went to the Metro Zoo. Terrific zoo, tremendous, maybe doesn't compare to the animals you have here in South Africa, but for us it's pretty good. It's all we have. You have over there a monorail, a metro rail that takes you from stop to stop. And there, you go from place to place. That particular day, my wife, my children, my in-laws, we all went. A number of the stops were broken. Naturally, any show that I was able to go to, I was thrilled, because for the kids it meant having a good time, and for me it meant I could take a break. We were walking all day. So this particular show was in a half theater with like 500 men, women, and children. And the idea was the zookeeper, clearly a person who wasn't Jewish, took out from a box a number of animals, reptiles, from bags, from boxes, and for each one she told you like 5 minutes of Torah on each animal. It took up an hour. She was ready for the last animal before the show ended. She pulls out the grand prize of them all. A large snake about 8 or 9 feet long, and she wraps it around her neck, and she says, "This is the way we're going to conclude the show." And she puts the snake around her neck, and she says to all 500 people, "Everyone shout and say hello to Herman." So everybody, "Hello, Herman." Nope, wasn't loud enough. And she makes us do it again. Everybody say, "Hello, Herman." And 2-3 times we're shouting, "Hello, Herman," just like she says. She goes on to tell us a lot of Torah about the animal. The animal has the unique ability to camouflage itself in some of the shrubbery and the greenery so the other animals will not prey and attack it. While Herman's 8 feet long, interestingly enough, 7 of the feet are its head and throat, and only the last foot is the rest of the body. Herman lives for this amount of time and could grow to this length. Herman has eyes, but Herman has no ears. This is the way Herman eats, and so on and so forth. She ends the show and she says, "Does anybody have any questions?" So children raise their hand, "Where's the washroom? When's the next show? Can we pet the animal?" Everybody's getting up to leave, but now I was in a dilemma, because I had a question. But I'm not going to ask the question. That's what 4-year-olds are. If Herman has no ears, why'd you make us yell, "Hello, Herman"? The lady said she never had a question like that in her life. The place was buzzing. She says to my daughter, "Little girl, what school do you go to?" She says, "I go to Torah Semes." The woman says, "Ain't that the truth?" The hardest part of the story was they were surrounding her like a celebrity. And I was yelling, "It was my question. It was my idea." But no. But you know what? Very often when it comes to our children, we're very much like that. They say hello. They just want to be heard. They're calling out to us. Are we speaking piv al piv, their language? Are we relating to every him and her on their own level? They're calling out. They want the relationship. We've got to listen. We've got to answer the Hello Hermans to our children. I heard a terrific shot from the Jibodayan of Montreal. It says in the most stirring tefillah on Rosh Hashanah, the Nisana Tokef, Hashem opens the Sefer HaZichronos, the Book of Records, Umeilav Yikore, and it reads of itself. Now, what exactly does that mean? What type of cryptic comment is that, that the Book of Records is opened up in the heavens, Umeilav Yikore, it reads itself, it reads by itself? So the Jibodayan explained, people do averos. But beyond the actual avera that they commit, it comes with a kras, an oy. I have charata, I did it. A feeling or a sensation in the heart that I wish I wouldn't have done it. If we've had a bad day spiritually, we've slipped up. Shemona Esrei wasn't like we liked it. Lashon Hara wasn't the way it should be. We weren't so honest in business. Yes, that's recorded black and white in the Sefer HaZichronos. But beyond that, there's the nuances and the iotas. How do you really feel? Were you proud you did the Avera? Or maybe it killed your day? Maybe the reason why you were sad isn't because you lost the deal, but you were sad because of what you did during the day. Zokta Jibo Dayan Umei Eilav Yikore. In God's eyes, the book's going to read itself. Not just the quantity of mitzvos vis-a-vis Averos. The cracks, the nuances, the ayayays, the how badly you feel. The intonations, they count as well. When our children speak to us, it behooves us not just to listen to the she'ela that's coming out of their mouths. Try to understand the bakasha. See what they really need. What can you do for them? Chinuch never ends, but look for the ume'elav yikore. What does he mean? What does she mean? Is what they're asking really what they want? Because if in the Ribbono Shel Olam's eyes, he takes into account the nuances, the krechs and the ayayays, we're to emulate the ways of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's the ultimate parent, we're the ultimate child. And therefore, we too have to look at our conversations with our children, ume'elav yikore, listen to what they're really saying behind the lines. There's a story that happened a number of years ago in a high school in New York. Grades 9, 10, and 12 were very successful, but unfortunately grade 11 were a bunch of 25 boys in the 11th grade. They momish behaved terribly. The principal would bring someone in as a Rebbe in the morning, and by night the Rebbe would be gone. He'd want to sue the Menahel. How'd you get me into this? Momish, like it says in Megillas Esther, in the morning one came and at night one left. The Rebbe came in the morning and by night the Rebbe was gone. For the whole first month that's the way it went. Finally, off the street comes in a Rebbe, and the Menahel says, you're trying for the job, it's open. He says, yeah, you have any experience? No, straight out of Cairo, but I want the job. So here the Menahel said, terrific, you're just what we're looking for. Inwardly he's thinking, by tonight you're going to hate me. All right, the Rebbe gets the job. He goes upstairs to the 25 wild, wild boys in the 11th grade. And at the end of the day, he walks out with his briefcase, his Gemara, he's all smiles. I mean, the Menahel's jaw dropped. He didn't want to rock the boat and say anything. He goes, all right, I'll give him another day. The next day comes and goes, and the Rebbe leaves happily. Week in, week out, month in, month out, semester in, semester out. The Rebbe doesn't want to break the spell. The Menahel doesn't want to say anything and break the spell. He doesn't say anything to the Rebbe. Finally, it's the end of the year. Clearly, there's been a change. All 25 students are now outstanding. The Rebbe's fulfilling his dream. Everyone's happy. So it's the last day, and the Menahel tells Rabbi Goldberg, you've done a great job. As Goldberg was leaving, the Menahel says, listen, I've been dying to ask you all year long. How'd you do it? Well, what don't I know about? So he says, I'm so happy you asked me. I've been dying to tell you. He says, on that first day last year when I came into the office, you went ahead and you handed me the record book, the plan book. And it had the list of the 25 students. And next to their names, I noticed that you put their IQ numbers. 188, 192, 174, 187. And I realized, whoa! This Menahel is entrusting me, a guy off out of Kollel, with such geniuses? So I went in with a totally different approach. I realized he entrusted me with such geniuses, I spoke up to them, not down to them. I respected them, not disrespected them. And when they saw that I spoke up to them, they in turn spoke up to me. When they saw I cared about them, they cared about me. When they saw I respected them, it was mutual. Kimayim, Panim, Reponim, Cain, Lev, Adam. That's it. What you get is what you put in. And day in, day out, I respected them more and more. They respected me more and more. And that's the way I built the confidence, the trust, and the relationship over the year. And that's really a beautiful story. Except for one thing, as the Rebbe got up, the Menahal says to him, just one thing. Those numbers, those were their locker numbers. But you know what? Locker numbers, IQ numbers, it really doesn't make a difference. Because if we believe in our children, and we believe that they can do something, what difference does it make locker numbers or IQ numbers? They're all special. Ba'ad Shnehem, remember, do it one-on-one. Find the thing that they excel in better than the other siblings and build their confidence. Anyone can do it. We have to ask for the siyata d'shmaya of the Ribono Shel Olam. But don't get caught up in the numbers, locker IQ. It doesn't make a difference. One of the greatest pshatim I've ever heard is from the Heiligish Shelah HaKadosh, Zechusa Yavin Aleinu. The Shlosh says, and this is the biggest thing we should take out of tonight, there's a pasuk in Mishlei right before Perek Yud. Al tochach letz. Don't rebuke the scoffer or jokester. Pen yisna eka hohechu. Hoichach lechochom. Rebuke a wise person. V'yarveka and they'll love you. And the question is obvious. It's not the wise person who needs the rebuke. It's the scoffer who needs the rebuke. It seems like Mishlei is saying something backwards. Says the Shlor. Listen to how you should read it. Al tochach letz. Don't rebuke your child by saying, let's. You're no good. You'll never amount to anything. He'll hate you. Hoichach lechochom. Rebuke them by saying, you're so good. You can do better. I love you. Let's try harder. V'yaveka. And they'll come to love you for it. How in the world can a child possibly respond to a tochach letz when we tell them they can't be like this sibling? Why can't you be more like your brother? Everybody else in the class has to get a higher grade than you. They'll hate it, and they'll come to hate us. Hoichach lechochom. Help them, tell them they can do better. Build their confidence, and ultimately that will be the ultimate ahava. Somebody recently told me that clearly there's a difference between this generation and the one two generations ago. Somebody was in a shul in Miami Beach, and when they walked around the Sefer Torah, so this elderly, distinguished gentleman put his mouth to the Torah, to the cloth, and gave it a kiss. And a young fellow, 60 years his junior, says to the old man, don't kiss the Torah with your mouth. It's not sanitary. Take your hand, bring it to the Torah, and put it back to your lips. That's the clean way to do it. So this fellow whips around and says, young man, do you want to know the difference between our generations? In my generation, we gave tzedakah with our hand and kissed the Sefer Torah with our mouths. You give tzedakah with your mouth and kiss the Sefer Torah with your hand. And it's so true. We have to show our children the ahava of tzedakah. Keep to the words that you say. We have to show them the ahava of Torah. Kiss the Torah. Show them that there's no greater joy in the entire world. It's clearly a different generation. We're clearly fighting an uphill battle. But I maintain we could win this milchama. I must tell you before we get to the final part of the shir, something that I saw last year from the Telzer Rosh Hashiva, Remortcha Gifter, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Levracha. It may put it all in proper perspective. The first question we're going to be asked when we get to heaven, Kavata Itim La Torah. Did you set aside time to learn Torah? You think that's the question, says Rav Gifter? I'll tell you what God's really going to want to know. The wisest of all men, Shlomo HaMelech, said it to Heles, Lakol Zeman Ve'es. You know the beautiful song. There's 28 Itim, 14 times that are paralleled with each other. Es Laledes, Es Lomos, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to cry, a time to dance, Es Melchama, Es Shalom, a time of war, a time of peace, Es Laledes, all of the Es, 28 Itim. You know what God's going to ask the parents of the world when they go upstairs? Kavata itim la Torah. Did you stel avek the itim of Shlomo HaMelech that he enumerates in Koheles la Torah? Did you take the 28 itim that Shlomo HaMelech speaks about, which runs the entire gamut of life, chinuch, from the beginning to the end, did you establish them according to the dictates of the Torah? Kovata itim. Were you koveya the itim of Shlomo HaMelech la Torah? When your children see a simcha, what do they see from that simcha? The simcha of some type that they shouldn't, or a simcha satorah? When they see Laledes, a child brought into the world, what do they see? Do they see Laledes la Torah? Somebody once said they have a phenomenal idea for a sefer. Call the name of the sefer la Kol. I don't plan on doing it. So if anybody here wants to do it, Adar Rabba, it would be terrific. Call the name of the sefer la Kol Zman Va'es. Let it be 28 chapters. And each parak should be a different one of the itim of Shlomo HaMelech. And there you should bring down what it means to dance according to the Torah. What it means to die according to the Torah. What it means to have no chama according to the Torah. When we have no chama, what do our children see? We have fights with our spouses. We have fights with the grocery person because we didn't get the food on time. We yell at the Rebbe, they're no good. Or do they see the Mohammed is, I'm standing up for the Mohammed of Torah. I'm standing up for the Mohammed of someone who spoke Lashon Hara. That's what God's going to ask every parent. Kavata itim la Torah. Did you establish the 28 times that is the entire life cycle of Chinuch la Torah? And the only thing that we have going for us in this generation, where it is unfortunately a generation where tzedakah is being given with the mouth and the Torah is being kissed with the hand, is to be koveya every one of the itim la Torah. There is a pshat. We'll say this pshat and then end with a story and a bracha. It says in the Haggadah, I don't remember the last time I've enjoyed a pshat, this oisig veilach. In the Haggadah, the Baal Haggadah says, this will really summarize the entire shiur. The Baal Haggadah takes that long pasuk that says, Vanitzak el Hashem elokei avoseinu, vayishma Hashem eskoleinu, vayares emyenu, vesam aleinu, veslach atenu. It's a long pasuk. You know what the Baal Haggadah does? Every couple of words, he breaks it up and tells you what it really means. So on the words, the Es Amaleinu, he says, do you know what Es Amaleinu, the work, refers to? Eila Habonim, these are the children. As it says, Kol HaBen HaYilod HaYawur Tashlichuhu. Any child, the male, had to be thrown into the river. The Divrei Chayim, the Heilige Sanza Rebbe asked, what does it mean, Es Amaleinu, Eila Habonim? You know what the Heilige Divrei Chayim says? Es Amaleinu! Kifiza amelus we put in, according to the amount that we put into our families, eila habonim, that will dictate the type of children we're zeichet to have. We started off the shiur by talking it can only happen with the yisparo Hashem, that's the atta dishmaya, but beyond that, it won't come easily. It's all about amelus, work. One day at a time. Es amaleinu, according to the amount of amelus we put in, according to our kochos that we put into our children, that we care about them, eila habonim, that will dictate, that will be the barometer of the children, the kinderlach we merit having. This maisa is very dear and very personal to me. In 1951, my father's atzal was walking on a very wide boulevard in Tel Aviv, known as Rehov Allenby. It was Erev Shabbos, right after 12. And he was very intrigued. Outside there was a kiosk, a little stand, where a person was selling different items, cigarettes, sodas, newspapers. But the person behind the counter of the kiosk really caught the attention of my father's atzal in 1951. This person was an old Jew with a long white beard. He mamash looked like a tzaddik. My father got a little closer and he saw that this person was learning Mishnayis Meiser Sheni, not an easy Masechta. And he then noticed and was further intrigued that any time a customer came over, all the person did was, without taking his eyes out of the Mishnayis, he said, what do you want? The person said what he wanted. He took the item. He took the money. He gave the change. He gave the item. He gave the bag. Never once took his eyes out of the safer. Finally, another person comes over and says, I want cigarettes. The old Jew says, what time is it? He says, it's a quarter after 12. He says, Slicha, im kein, ani lo moche cigariot achrei chatzot be'er Shabbat. I can't give you cigarettes because it's after chatzos and on Erev Shabbos, I don't want you having them. He was afraid he would smoke them. My father realized clearly this is not a pashut yid. Clearly this is someone exceptional. So when everybody left, he went over to him and he struck up a conversation, and the Jew said his name was Yankel Ochsenkrug. He asked my father for his name. My father said, Mordechai Shapiro. I learned in Lakewood, the man said, who's your Rosh Hashiva? My Rosh Hashiva, Baron Kuttler. So the old man, Yankel Ochsenkrug, says to my father, Taka, was is geworden mit dem? Whatever happened to him? What? What happened to him? Reb Aaron, the Sar HaTorah, the Prince of Torah, solely responsible for Torah in America and Eretz Yisrael, here in Johannesburg. We are benefiting from Torah's Reb Aaron. Reb Aaron is Torah, Torah, Reb Aaron is it. Was ist geworden mit dem? What happened to him? My father said, why are you asking? My father went on to tell him who Reb Aaron was, and he sees the man starts to cry softly. He says, what are you asking me for? He said, I'll tell you, years ago, I used to be a butcher in Minsk. I never had a chance to learn Torah. I never had a chance to do anything to be Marbitz Torah. I cut meat all day. My contribution was, at the end of every week, I set aside two kopekas, two small pennies, coins. And every week, I worked hard to put away those kopekas. And at the end of a number of months and years, I saved up jars of kopekas. And I walked to the local cheder and I said to the menahal of the cheder, please take two boys who don't have money and who have the ability to become great people. Use my kopekas and send them somewhere. And two young boys were sent through this man's kopekas to Slobodka. And one of those boys was named Arkula Svislitzer. Arkula was the name for Aaron, and Svislitz was the city where Aaron Kuttler came from. So one of those two boys that went on my money was Aaron Kuttler, knew what became of him. Can you imagine the koyach of kopekas? You can create a Reb Aaron. And it happens to be when my father was telling over this maisa to someone who frequently visited us. He was telling over the maisa to Reb Yankov Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh L'Vracha, the Pikeach Hador. Reb Yankov said, yeah, it's a true maisa, because I'm the second boy. Reb Yankim and Reb Aaron, do you hear? What can become of our kopekas? It can become of any one of our children. They can become the next Reb Aaron and the next Reb Yankim. We have to believe in them. We have to trust them. We have to care enough about them. But our kopekas, day in, day out, can build the next Reb Aaron, the next Reb Yankim of the world. I know it. Please, let's end with a bracha, but you must open your heart to this bracha. By every bris we say, Kishem Shenichlas LaBris, just as the child entered the bris, Kein Yikonis LaTorah L'Chupa L'Maisim Tovim, may I merit that the child lives a life of Torah and Maisim Tovim and Chupa. I once heard a beautiful pshat, and this is how I leave you tonight. You know what it really means, Kishem Shenichlas LaBris? Kein Yikonis LaTorah L'Chupa L'Maisim Tovim? When our children, our Eimiklach, are born, they're a few days old and they're sitting in that stroller, in that carriage, in the crib. And we dream to the umpteenth degree, because dreaming is free, that this little boy will become the next Chofetz Chaim, the next Reb Moshe. I know it. And this daughter is going to lead a Beis Yaakov or become the next Sarah Schneer. I'm sure of that. Why not dream? It's free. Dream to the umpteenth degree about this two-day-old son or daughter, what they can vaksais and become. But very often, you know what happens? That son goes to school and we see he's not interested in learning. He's only interested in sports or something else. All right, so he can't become Reb Moshe. And then we begin to settle more and more. And then the daughter comes home and the daughter's not interested in learning. She's not interested in being a balas chesed. And we start to settle. Ultimately, we settle for 10 cents on the dollar. For what our dreams started, our aspirations, our hearts, bakasha, for our children, we start to settle when it's not becoming fulfilled, and we only get 10 cents. Let's walk out of here tonight and ask the Ribono Shel Olam, Kishem Shenichnas LaBris, just as when I dream by the bris, it's free, and I'm getting 100 cents value on the dollar. I never have to diminish those dreams or desires. I can dream to the umpteenth degree. Kein yikoneis l'torah u'yachupa u'yamaisim toivim. May those dreams and aspirations never diminish. May those dreams and aspirations never lessen. Let us merit from all of our sons and daughters, from all of our Ein Etzach, from everyone in Klal Yisrael, that which we are mispalel and ask the Ribono Shel Olam to please give us, that they become fulfilled. And if together all of Klal Yisrael can do their share to become the perfect parent, then the ultimate, Avinu Shebashamayim, the Ribono Shel Olam will say, Yasher Koach, you've correctly completed the job of Chinuch Bonim, and the Ribono Shel Olam, the ultimate Father in Heaven, will take care of us forever and ever. Hatzlacha Rabba Umeruba.